Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would, turn to hymn book page 272. 272. Sing all three verses.
As I travel through the pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Lead me safely through the sinking sand, it is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. As I need thee every hour, through this land of pilgrim land, let me saving heart hear my devotion boldly. Lord, hear, Lord, look down on me. With my healing prayer, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel with a mighty mind, I see the blessed way. Give me that name.
Lord, hear
Before we go to God in prayer this morning, please turn your hymn books to page 489. 489. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever lives for me. I know eternal life he gives, from sin and sorrow free.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our almighty, our all-powerful and all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. At this time, Lord, we're just thankful, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life. And the health and strength and wherewithal, Father, to rise up out of our beds this morning, that we can openly assemble together, Father, that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we pray that our worship would be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee this morning, Father, that the hymns we sing form a pleasing melody unto Thine ears, Father, that the words that we study, Father, the verses, the scriptures, Father, they may enrich us, Father, they may bring us, increase our knowledge and bring us closer to Thee, Lord. Our Father, we ask that you bless our our brother Davis, Father, give him a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to bring to us this morning, Father, that we might hear him with an open heart, Father, that we might let those words prick our hearts, that we might try to grow and ultimately become better Christians from it, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for our congregation here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for all of our elders, our deacon, our teachers, Father, for all those that help to serve and perform the work of the body here. We know it takes all the members of the body to have a whole functioning unit, Father, and we're thankful for our body of Christ here, Father. Our Lord, at this time, we're also mindful for all those that was mentioned as being sick, Father, all those that we have on our sick and prayer list, Father. We know that you know everybody that's listed, Father, and exactly how they're ailed. And we pray, Father, that if it be your will, that you grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also very, very thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're really too numerous to count or even sometimes contemplate, Lord, for we know that we have you to be thankful for everything that we have, Father. We pray as we go about our lives that we'd always remember that these blessings, Lord, they flow from thee. Our Father, we're most thankful, Lord, for thy grace and love, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to become that perfect Lamb of God, whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, for all the teachings and example that he set for us, Father. And we pray that as we go about our lives, Father, that we'd always remember Christ Jesus, and that our actions and deeds and the things that we do in life would be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ, Lord. And Father, as we continue in our worship this morning, Lord, we pray that if there be those here this morning, Father, that stand in need of thy invitation anyway, Father, that you might touch their hearts, Father, that they may make whatever corrections that they need to, Lord, while the opportunity will be extended to them, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to be with us, Father, that you continue to watch over us, continue to guide us, continue to forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent from those things and do our best not to do them anymore. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you continue to be with us throughout our worship, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable this morning, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn to hymn book to page 300. 300. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
When I survey the
riches gain. For taking the Lord's Supper, we reflect back on the cross and the love that Jesus showed when he went. When he was put on the cross, of course, he was spat upon, he was mocked, he was striped, he was falsely accused. And then he had the nails driven through his hands and his feet. As he was on the cross, he said, God forgive them, for they're going out what they do. As Christians, we know what our sins were. And we've been forgiven of those sins when we were washed by that blood that flowed on from that cross that day. When Jesus arose from the cross, we were redeemed. What a wonderful, wonderful feeling, knowing that we have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we remember him now this morning, as we do each Sunday morning, with the bread which represents his blood, or his body that was on the cross, and the blood that flowed from that cross. Let's bow and thank him for the wonderful blessing he's given us. Let's bow in prayer now. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given to us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. He thought of us so much that he gave himself to die on that cruel cross that we might live. Father, we thank you that we have his blood that continually washes us from our sins. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. Kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this cup that represents his precious blood. His precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, it is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Has anyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper? If not, please signal by raising your hand. I see no hands, so we will continue. We also have the commandment to give back a portion of what we have been prospered with. But it's more than what we've been prospered with. It's more of a sign of our love towards our Jesus Christ. He gave himself fully that we might live. We, as a family, take care of each other. We help each other. And we grow the kingdom by helping each other and reaching out to those that are around us that are in need of the gospel. We also use these funds to be able to help those who are in need and to be able to use the resources that we have to spread the gospel within our community. Let's bow and thank him for the blessings that we have. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are able to give back to you that which we have been blessed with. For we would have nothing without you. We know that all that we have comes from you. We ask that as we do it, we use it to your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 999. 999, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 391. 391. Sing all three verses.
What a fellowship, what a joy divining on the everlasting heart. What a blessedness, what a peace is finding on the everlasting heart.
Scripture from today is coming from Revelations chapter 22, verses 13. That's Revelations chapter 22, verse 13. I'll be reading from the King James Version. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, Brother Hank Davis.
Good morning, church. It's really a blessing to be able to stand before you and give a portion of God's word. It's been a blessing just to be able to get up this morning, get up out of our beds and be clothed in our right mind, and have the freedom to assemble in the house of the Lord this morning, be able to fellowship, worship, and praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And as always, it's good to see each and every one of you. And to our visitors, if you're visiting with us this morning, we welcome you as our honored guests. We are most pleased that you've chosen to join us in worship today, and that we pray that you'll find our service unto the Lord both edifying and uplifting to you. And we ask that at the end of service, that you don't rush off and give us every opportunity to meet you. It's always truly an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you and bring forth the Lord's word. And to paraphrase 1 Peter 5:14, peace be with you all who are in Christ Jesus. I want to let you all know this morning that God loves you. I want you to know that, as the scripture says, that God is real. He's alive. And I stand before you this morning to say that I believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, because he lives, and without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things, and all things are possible according to his purpose. My lesson this morning, I want to start from the beginning, if you will, a little bit. You know, we go through our lives, and we try to live the best lives we can as Christians. But we live in a world right now that is so cynical, that is so skeptical, and so everything else is everything but God. And so this morning, I want to just start from the beginning, okay, if I can. You know, so how many parents or grandparents that we have out there in our midst today that, you know, they have what we would call impressionable children, you know, the kind of kids that ask those next to impossible questions, you know, why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? What makes water wet? You know, I remember asking that same question to my father. My sister's here. And my dad was, you know, just a kind of a low-key kind of guy sometimes. And I remember he was outside watering his yard. And I said to him, I said, Daddy, what makes water wet? And he never cracked a smile. He never even looked up. He just said, because it's not dry. I'm still perplexed by that answer to this day. However, children will sometimes ask some very innocent but difficult questions that will have us as parents and adults scrambling for the answer, especially if they ask that dreaded follow-up question, but why? Right? Yeah. I heard some of you out there, you know, and then you'll answer that question and they'll finish it up with, but why? And then, but why? And then, but why? And then that eventually leads us to the ultimate answer, and no, fellas, it's not go ask your mother. The ultimate answer is, I don't know. I don't know. Some of the most complex things and questions on and about this earth has simple answers to them. However, man likes to sometimes think he has the authority on these things and that he has the answer to all things, even though that answer is, I don't know. And that particular answer, I don't know, is really what this lesson is all about. So I want to just kind of step back a little bit. So how did I come up with the title to this sermon? Well, the other night, a little while ago now, I was watching the Science Channel on television, and I wasn't watching it for really any sort of reference or anything like that. I was really watching it to find something to go to sleep on. You know, sometimes I hear the droning voice, and that's just enough to put me out. So, but it just so happened on this night, just before I fell asleep, it worked. It was a TV show on there that was called How the Universe Works. It was talking all about the workings of the cosmos. You had several what I would call astrophysicists, astrologists, various number of scientists spending countless hours talking about what's in outer space, using big elaborate sentences to explain undefinable phenomena like black holes and supernovas and neutron stars and quasars and dark matter. Astrologists even alleged to have found a celestial body in the cosmos that they have named Betelgeuse. Now, I thought Betelgeuse was a movie, but I digress. Which is supposed to be one of the largest visible stars to the naked eye, so that if it were at the center of our solar system, its surface would lie beyond the asteroid belt, and it would engulf the orbits of Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Well, but I do know, I don't know that, but I find that this show and others like it fascinating because, like, while astrologists and other scientists have clearly spent countless hours in schools around the world educating themselves on the topic of how the universe works,
watching this program with a Christian perspective and belief, I kept finding myself asking the question, what are they truly looking for? Or better yet, what are they trying to prove or disprove? Prove or disprove? What was truly their end game? And then as I'm listening to this stuff, I pulled out my Bible and I'm starting to look into Scripture and see, and try to counteract what they were saying. So I look in Scripture and I go to 2 Timothy 4 and 3 and 5 and it reads, the time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what they are itching to hear. They will turn from the truth and eagerly listen to senseless stories. But we as Christians must stay calm, endure afflictions, and work hard to tell the good news and make up a full proof of the ministry. So what we're going to have is what it's saying is that even though we're going to come across some of these things, we need to be ready ourselves. We're going to hear it all the time. As a point of emphasis, we go to 1 Peter 3:15-16 and reads, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And what do we deal with a lot today? Why would a God that loves you so much want this to happen? I don't believe, because a God that's supposed to be so good would allow this to happen. Well, you know, we don't know God's will all the time, do we? And what we know is that the Bible says that everything works for our good. Jesus Christ will say in Matthew 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And then again in 2 Peter 2:1-3, it reads that there were false prophets. You see where I'm going here. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow this their pernicious ways, by reason of whom they way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Through covetousness shall they with you feign words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, but their damnation slumbereth not. So again, people spend an awful lot of time to try, like I said, disprove certain things. So now I'm finding myself paying very close attention to what these astrophysicists and astroscientists were driving at on this program. And it was to give, and to me, it was to give a complete counter narrative to the creation of the world. And this is important because this is where people want to always throw things at Christians to throw us off of our belief, our hope, and our faith. And we need to be mindful of this. And it's not lost on me that anytime man attempts to delve into the unknown mysteries of this world, they usually say that they are simply looking for the truth. However, for many, not all, but many, it is usually their basis for the delegitimization of the existence of God. And there's 3 points that these folks made on this program that I paid very close attention to. And it is what unbelievers and doubters of God often lean upon. And I'm going to break them down for you. Number one, elements of space are exactly like elements of earth. So we're talking about hydrogen, oxygen, iron, etc. And then they use something like, they call something like the Big Bang Theory. I know a lot of you have heard of that. It says that the universe originated billions of years ago in a rapid expansion from a single point of nearly infinite energy and density and all of this stuff. And you know what that means? I don't know. Again, their idea is that like materials and minerals were first in outer space, found their way to Earth, and aided to create mankind. So somehow, what they're saying is, out of the blue, elements just randomly found their way to Earth, and, you know, And like I said, have you heard of the term, let's just throw it up against the wall and see how it sticks? So in other words, they're saying, like, if I wanted a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, somehow the peanut butter found its way on the bread along with the jelly, and bam, I got a sandwich. That makes absolutely no sense. But this is what they're saying. However, make light of that on purpose, because the Bible gives us truth. The Bible gives us a detailed description of creation, doesn't it? It says in Genesis 1 that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Now let's look at that a little deeper, okay? The Bible states that God created the heaven in the King James Version and the earth. Some translations of the Bible said, of Scripture says, heavens, plural. Heaven is described in a dictionary as a dwelling place of God and the angels, and also where the righteous will dwell after earthly death. However, another description for heaven is the sky, especially perceived as a vault in which the sun, moon, stars, planets are situated. In other words, the universe. The universe. Moses would make the differentiation between heaven, the universe, and heaven, the dwelling place. If you look at Deuteronomy 10 and 14, in which he states, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, the earth also with all therein, all that therein is." The same word to describe the house, the universe, and the home, heaven. Jesus would instruct us in prayer in Matthew 6 to pray to our Father, which is in heaven, the dwelling place. So using modern language, God created the universe and the earth. There is a creator there. It didn't just happen. So if God created everything, if he created everything, he's going to use the same materials to create everything. So for an example, I know we have artists out there. You could tell our artists' work by the way their strokes, if they paint, by the way a picture looks. You could tell a cook, if you taste somebody's food, you could tell, oh, that's so-and-so's food. I could tell the way to, why? Because they have a certain style. They use a certain same materials. So certainly, the same materials that are in space are going to be the same material on earth because they have the same creator. Okay? His creation is going to be everywhere. A craftsman uses the tools to create his work so that he can be identified. The human body, the shapes, the water, it's everywhere. You have the same creator. Number two, scientific conclusions are based on theories, hypotheses, and best guesses. If something changes, for an example, in the cosmos, scientists change their theories. So in turn, they use the term that's called completely unknown. For information is in your possession, what that means is information that is in your possession, but whose value has not been identified. In other words, I don't know. But as Christians, we know what God's word says, right? It is based on truth. It is not based on guesses. We know who God is. We know what we are to do with him. John 4:24 says, God is what? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can also add that God is love. We know the power of truth. John 8:24. Then you shall know the truth, and what shall the truth do? It shall set you free. We know how to get to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And we know how consistent the Lord is. Okay? Hebrews 13:8 said, Jesus Christ says what? I am the same way yesterday, today, and forever. Those are not guesses. That is truth. The scripture said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. Number three, they have you believe that there is no eternity. Everything and everyone dies. But we go to John 3:16, and it says, for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And 1 John 5:11 says that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And Jesus will say, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto you myself, that where I am, ye shall be also. John 14:1-3. And Christ also said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:30-35. Heaven, he's talking about heaven and earth. He's talking about the universe again. So what does this all mean? What does this all mean? I'm not going to say I don't know this time. This is what this all means is that it is very vital. It is crucial. It is key. It is necessary, paramount, important, urgent, imperative, and major that we fully and completely understand that our God is real. With all men things, with men all things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. It is imperative that we understand that we serve a living God. Man will have you believe that our very existence is an unsolved mystery. But clearly Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51, I have given reference to everything to shoot down their measures, that the Apostle Paul writes, behold, I shall show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18, that this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to those things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Faith, hope, trust, belief. Those are real. That's not an hypothesis. That's not a theory. That's not a hunch. That's not an estimation. That's not a postulation. That's not a speculation. That's not a prediction. That's not an assumption. That's not even a shadow in the dark or whatever will ever alter the true awesomeness and the might of our living God. We need to recognize that we serve a mighty, living, life-giving God. We need to walk out of here understanding how mighty that is. It doesn't matter your situation. We all have situations. We all have issues. We all have something. But we serve a God that's mightier than anything that we're going to ever deal with. And everything that we're going through on this day and day beyond is temporary. But if we believe with our faith, hope, and love that our God is real, there is something beyond what we're dealing with today. God is mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord is high, the Lord on high is mighty. Psalms 93:4. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalms 95:3-7. Folks, there is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God is real. He's real in our soul. And I believe in his Son, the one they call Jesus. I believe he died on Mount Calvary, and I believe the tomb was found empty. And I believe that he is the answer for me. There's no guesses. There's no guesses, church. Only truth. Only truth. And so if you're here this morning, and you have not already obeyed the gospel, understand, I've already told you, we serve a mighty God. There's nothing you can do out here by yourself. You need the Lord. If you have not obeyed the gospel, first of all, let me tell you about his plan of salvation. His salvation is today. You heard his word. Believe it to be true. If you don't believe it, I just gave you a mountain of scriptures. I'll give them back to you at the end of service if you need them. Believe them to be true. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Confess that Jesus is Lord and be baptized. And you come up out that watery grave of baptism, a new creature. And you're added to the Lord's church. Not by man. God alone adds you through his church. If you are a Christian and you strayed away for whatever reason, and you've leaned on your own understanding, you've let what the concerns and the conditions of this earth bring you down, understand God is still sitting high. He is still sitting high. He's still looking low. And he is still the mighty God that we serve. If you are in need of prayer, we've got witnesses all up in here. Does prayer work? Prayer works. Does prayer work? Prayer works. Whatever your need this morning, don't hesitate. Come forward, have a seat on the first pew as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There are some things I may not know. And my God is real. He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for he has lost and made me whole. His love for me, his life revolves, and my God is real, for I can hear him in my soul. Some close may die, some close may fall. My God is real, for he has lost and made me whole. His love for me, his life forevermore. And my God is real, for I can hear him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you feel when Jesus stole your sins away. But sins have been, yes, sins have been. My soul. His life